until this morning when I looked up how to pronounce your name, I should play you the air check of how I have botched your name. I have destroyed your name.
It is a hard one. It is.
I have just, and then when I went looking at the, I got into this thing on Google about name history.
Okay.
And it says modern version of W-I-E-B, and I'm like, and then you click on W-I-E and it says modern version of something else, and you're thinking, this is absolutely of no use.
It's ancient. I think it's Dutch, actually.
Well, I'm just warning you, I have destroyed your name.
Oh, that's okay.
On the radio.
No
so
problem.
But then I looked it up, and it's Vibeka.
That's right.
So I can remember Rebecca with a V in the front of it.
That's what I usually say to English-speaking people. I say it's Rebecca with a V.
Now, in Norwegian, in your native language, would it be pronounced any differently?
A little bit Vibeke.
Vibeke.
Vibeke. See, yeah,
I'm never going to get it.
Stress on the
it's
first
all over.
Syllable.
I'm big. I'll challenge you to sound like a New Yorker, you know?
Vibeke is what people call me, you know, okay. In the States.
It's all over. Yeah. This album is fun.
I'm so glad you say that.
The second I popped it in, I just cranked it. This is a crank it really, really, really loud in the car.
Cool.
And then go over the speed limit kind of record. And those don't come that easily. Those come from, you know who Josie Cotton is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Josie Cotton or The Sweet, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's where this kind of music comes from. So let's start with a little introduction.
Absolutely.
Where in Norway are you from originally? We'll do the historical perspective and then we'll get to the fun stuff.
But okay.
We've got to get through that.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a small town called Moss, which is, I guess, 40 minutes south of Oslo, the capital of Norway. And I live in Oslo now since 5 years. So, but I'm born in Italy, but that's just because my dad worked there at the time. But I like to say that to make a little exotic.
And how did you? Well, no, you did. You went the exotic route.
Yeah.
So now, how did you get from Italy to Norway?
Well, my parents are Norwegians, and my dad worked for Veritas, which is like a worldwide kind of safety clearance. They clear ships for safety and stuff like that. I don't know how to describe
sounds
it,
good
what
to
he
me.
Does. But anyway, they lived in Italy for 2 years, and I was born there. And then they moved back to Norway and to where we lived in Moss, where they grew up. And it's a pretty cool little town. It has always had a lot of garage bands since the 60s and through, you know, the surf era, the garage, 80s garage era, a lot of...
So this is kind of like the Woodstock of Norway.
Yeah, it's when I grew up, being into music, listening to a lot of different stuff, I could kind of turn to people that played in bands and say, hey, I want to do this. I want to try this out. And you had people who could help you, lend you equipment, you know.
So this was
advice.
An artistic town. This wasn't
kind of,
like a farm town.
No, if you ask a Norwegian, they would not say it's an artistic town. But if you come from there, I guess... You would feel that way, you know, because it always was a lot of music, a lot of bands and stuff like that. It's a pretty town. It's by the coast.
And you see, I don't know. Is there any other big city in Norway or is Oslo it?
Oslo is the biggest. And you have Bergen, which is like a coastal town on the west coast, which is very picturesque, very beautiful. People go there. It's seven mountains around it. It always rains. That's what it's famous for. But it's really beautiful with the houses and everything. And you have Tromsø, which is far up north.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, hard for it. Tromsø.
Spell that.
It's T-R-O-M-S. And that Ø that we have, which is an O with a line
through
it.
With a thing, right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's called the Paris of the North. And it's really beautiful. It has a midnight sun and everything, you know. It's and that's a great musical city too. To go there and play is like playing Southern Europe kind of, because everybody's very excited. They don't stand like, you know, with their arms folded and just
you
listen.
Mean like they do in England, that we hear time
like
and time
they do
again
in England, and a little bit in Oslo too, actually.
Oh really?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
The music's good.
Yeah, you know,
I really like it.
They don't loosen up. They don't dance. They don't, you know, go bananas, which is what we like when we play.
Of course.
Yeah, like name, Spain.
Name three other Norwegian bands you want to be as famous as.
That I want to be as famous as.
Yeah. Well, it's my way of asking, are there any famous Norwegian bands that I'm missing here?
I guess right now, the most famous band that we have, would that be Turbo Negro?
I think maybe. Okay.
Well, my drummer who drums on the album, he's now the new drummer of Turbo Negro.
Got it.
I guess they are the one right now that are still kind of, you know, underground, but big at the same time, kind of. Which is pretty hard, you know.
Yes. You don't really have to come up with three. It was my way of getting to how many Norwegian bands actually exist that we probably, I mean, I know obviously over there there's a whole scene because every mm-hmm. country has a major scene, and we'll get to that.
There's a lot of power pop stuff and underground stuff that some people know. I was, you know, when Mark, who put this album out in the States at Pop Detective, when I got in touch with him, I was, and he said, well, I have the two last albums. And I was like, what? Do you? Does anyone outside of Norway actually
You're
have
gonna
those?
You're going to have to get them for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll try.
Right. It's not easy, is it?
It is not easy. I guess, like, super famous bands. Aha, of course, everybody knows about Aha from the 80s.
Right.
And there's
Play Take On Me All the Time, or The Sun Always Shines on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
those are good from back then.
Nobody knew what to do with that band. They were like, what is this?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. They started to play a little bit again.
Nobody knows what they were talking about. What the heck was that song about anyway?
No.
Okay, so now let's go back in history a little bit. So you've been making music since 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And you started with an all-girl group on a major label, so that was Weld and the Yum Yums, right?
Well,
so tell me, take me through a little bit of history, and then we'll dig back in some different ways.
Okay. Well, the all-girl group band that I was in, with a name that will make no sense to you guys, it's called Avslørte Bondepiker, which is actually a name of a dessert, kind of played with, like, made a pun out of. I won't try to explain it because it won't make good radio, I think.
Oh, well, hey, you never know.
Anyway, that was an all-girl group that was not on a major label. We were just playing in this little town of Moss, and some of the older guys who played in two pretty cool garage bands called Major Maracas and Cosmic Dropouts, they wanted to start a new band with a girl singer. And they heard me and they asked me, do you want to join us? And that was Weld, who went on to being a major label band a couple of years later, I guess. No, 1993, I guess we signed the contract. So I played with them for 3 years, put out two albums and an EP, Christmas EP. And that was fun. We got to, you know, travel all over Norway. We played the Roskilde Festival in Denmark. We got a Grammy. We did all of the cool stuff that, you know, sometimes it's just, I was just 17 when we signed the contract. And it takes a little time to, you know, to be secure on stage and everything. And I got a lot of stage experience and a lot of fun. So, but the music was a little bit off what was my, it was melodic, but a little bit too folky maybe for me, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But it wasn't punky or garagey or anything
not,
like that.
Not really. It's more like people call it Americana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So I was having fun, but not so, it was a little bit off musically, like not just the thing that I was listening to myself.
Right.
And I felt, well, I want to do something else. Maybe want to start writing more songs. I just, you know, participated on the songwriting for those two albums a little bit, just getting started out. And I wanted to do more, so I quit the band. We were starting to get a little bit of interest from, you know, England and stuff. And I was thinking, do I really want to do this? Do I want to take this further when I'm not really sure? It's like a relationship, you know?
Right.
Right. Kind of.
Know about those, yes. Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, no, don't think that. So it was kind of hard because these were friends of mine and they wanted to do it. So it was a little bit tough, but the right decision, I think. I always go with my gut feeling, what's right to do. So I started a band that was probably maybe not the what I'm listening to most, that record. It was a band that I was very into at that time that kind of Boston scene with Throwing Muses, Pixies, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a year or something, and then I was just went back to the power pop 60s roots, I guess.
And then, was that the Yum Yums?
Yes. Then I started hanging out with the Yum Yums, first as a roadie, actually. I was their roadie. They were friends of mine. I went on tour with them. And then the keyboard player quit, so I started playing keyboards. And that was about the same time that I did my first solo album. This is very hard for people. I've done so much stuff. So I play the organs with the Yum Yums, and then I did the solo thing on the side. And and that's pretty much where I am right now.
So the first two albums were never released outside of Norway.
No.
Not even, you could probably even get them here as imports.
Probably not. No, I was never much of a priority on the major labels. You know, they're very excited once they kind of get you do the record and everything. They're super excited. Then they kind of release it, and the next week it's like you're yesterday's news for them. Kind of. I had a contract with Universal in Norway to actually make another album after the Overdrive album, which was the last one, which is a little more glammy than that one, but it's Yeah, it's a cool album. I'll get it to you. Anyway, I had a contract for one more, and I recorded that one, and they said, "Well, we don't think we can sell this album, the Hat Trick." And I said, "Okay. So what do you guys suggest that we do?" And they say, "Well, you can have the master."
Oh, interesting.
Which is kind of
surprising, because they usually hold the master like it's
yes.
There are more bands that right now I've interviewed whose masters are stuck with the record company, and they're
so
not.
So I actually thought that was pretty cool. That was of them. It's a decent thing that they don't think they can do that kind of because it's kind of narrow. The radio stations in Norway don't play much power pop. We don't have guys like you, unfortunately, who do shows. It's very, you don't hear much of that stuff on the radio. So I can understand that they find it kind of hard. So that's a decent thing. But then it's cool of them to give it to me. So I got the master and released it on my own label called Spritball Records, which is like, because I collect bouncing balls. So it's pretty much Bouncing Ball Records in Norwegian. So I released it myself and got a good distributor in Norway, which is cool. And I guess since Mark already had the two previous albums, he sent me an email.
So let's go back a little bit. How did you learn? Now, you mentioned keyboards. Now, how many instruments do you play?
I play guitar and I play piano. And I play ukulele.
Ukulele is a very useful instrument. You never know.
Yes, you never know.
You never know when you're going to need that.
Well, I started playing piano when I was six. So I played classical piano for several years, which is... and they didn't need a guitar. Well, I'm not a very good guitar player. And I'm a better keyboard player, actually, than guitar player. I play guitar for a while, but I realized I sing better when I don't play guitar. And I play guitar better when I don't sing. And I'm a better singer than guitar player. So,
wow. And I followed that.
I started out like when I was maybe 11, 12, listened to a lot of singer-songwriter stuff. I loved and love still Simon and Garfunkel. I'm a huge fan. And I listened to a lot of, you know, the old Dylan Beatles kind of thing that every kid kind of, you know, gets into, I guess, at some point. So it started there, and I just, I guess it's, this, you know, I just love a good melody, which is the first thing that I listen to in a song. It has to have melody. And, well, now if there's some really, you know, loud guitars, that would be great too. So there you have power pop, I guess.
So we've invented a thing that we've done with over 150 artists called a musical sandwich.
Oh, okay.
And what it is two of your songs is the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then songs by any other band that you want to play in between. And you have to give me a bunch of them to fill out the rest of the hour. And then I come right back in here with CDs and vinyl, and I play exactly what you asked me to play.
Yeah.
So tell me, first of all, what would your two songs be for the bread and the sandwich?
Well, the first one that I wrote for this album was meant to be with you. which is kind of one of my favorites still. I kind of wish I'd recorded a little faster, but that doesn't really matter. So Meant to Be with You as maybe the top, you know, the bun, top of the bun. I don't know, maybe Waste Another Day. Or Mark would want to, you know, wanted to play You Don't Go Away. That's his favorite.
So here's the good news. You've just made a club sandwich.
Okay,
so
cool.
We'll put that one in the middle.
Great.